Talk with the Purpose is the show. Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. I'm John DeMasi. We bring in the man who is much more eloquent than me and can certainly talk about that and other things, Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity. Seth, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I don't know if I'm going to be articulate because it's freezing down here. I'm in West Palm Beach. It's 62 degrees, and I have my sweatshirt on, so I'm trying to stay focused.
Well, it's 20 but, here. It's 20, all right?
and once again, you get me off my prepared notes, but so anything you want to know about the official libertyandprosperity.com agenda, it's all posted on the website. But what I found interesting about the Iowa caucuses is the Iowa caucuses, the results were almost identical to the informal poll I took when I was guest hosting for you last month. And I took about just a random 8 to 10 calls, and it was 50% for Trump, and the other 50% divided between DeSantis, Haley, and Ramaswamy. So it's going to be very interesting if after New Hampshire on Tuesday in South Carolina next week, if it comes down to a two-person race, will Trump pick up the votes of the people who drop out and have an overwhelming majority, or will it be a 50-50 split, basically, going into the convention? And I don't want to comment on it because when I went off track last week, I was greeted with a bunch of boos when I walked into the Liberty and Prosperity Breakfast that takes place every Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's Cafe at Groveland Avenue and New Road in Summers Point. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. You won't get booed today. You won't get booed.
No, and then afterwards, you say, oh, we're only kidding you. But it's funny. A lot of at the Liberty and Prosperity Breakfast, a lot of folks just listen to your show in the parking lot in their cars until the meeting starts, and they come in. And a lot of the discussion is what was said on the John DeMasi show. So, it really affect the conversation. Anyway, last week I talked about this intrusive survey that's mailed out to about 10% of the households in America called the American Community Survey. And you're told if you don't answer all these intrusive questions about your race, your ethnic background, when you're sick, what doctor you see, what cooking fuel you use, all that stuff, that you are threatened with a $100 fine for each question you don't answer and a $500 fine if you make a willfully false statement. So I did do the research on it, and it's all posted on the libertyandprosperity.com website. I was certain that this thing started with Obama, but like so many woke Democrat agenda items, this whole survey started with the George Bush administration in 2005 with a Republican Senate and Republican House of Representatives that authorized the Census Bureau to do this basically unconstitutional census to gather facts to promote a woke agenda. So what happens if you don't answer the questions? Even though it says or they tell you that you will be fined, since 2005, there has not been a single person charged with a penalty who refused to answer the survey. And we give a detailed in our website. There's an organization called the Rutherford Institute has a form letter that they recommend sending to the Census Bureau. And if you're threatened in any way, they will give you legal representation. So all that's posted on our website. Second thing is one of our members, a guy called Dave Goloff, put together a program that's online called MyTake.live. And I've been using it to get the news since I've been in Florida this week. And it's absolutely amazing because he has all the major news outlets divided into left-wing, right-wing, and mainstream. And it's incredible that so many really important stories would be covered by the left but not by the right. In other words, they'd be covered by MSNBC but not by Fox. And a lot of stuff that's of interest to both the left and the right is not mentioned at all in the mainstream media. So I make a point of looking at it every 5-10 minutes every day, and it really gives you an idea not just what the news is, but how the news is being spoon-fed to different people on the left and the right. So Dave Goloff has been one of our members for years. I just want to promote this great thing I think he did.
By the way, we are going to have him on the show again. He was on before, and some of our audience didn't understand it completely. So he's going to come back on, and he's going to kind of walk us through on the computer. And he doesn't know it yet, but he'll be on sometime. He doesn't know it yet. I'm telling you, he's going to be on sometime in February.
Right, right. So what he does, it's not like he's filtering the news to tell you what's important and what's not important. He's just giving an explanation of how the left-wing media, the right-wing media, and the mainstream, how they filter out the news. So you could look at all three of them and figure out for yourself what's going on. So, and I think he will give a presentation at one of our meetings coming up where he'll do it in details. The next thing, of course, our major event is Craig Calloway will be speaking to us on February 17th, our fundraiser. And every time we talk about Craig being our guest speaker, there's like another angle that comes up. But I'd say one of the most important angles, there are so many people who were shocked during the 2020 election when they go to bed at night and they see that Trump is leading in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and then they wake up the next day and they find out that Trump is losing in those states. And they're saying, well, how could that possibly happen? And so we have our motto, what happens to America happens to Atlantic City first. And we have to remind people that in 2001, Jim Whalen was running as an independent for mayor of Atlantic City against a Democrat named Lorenzo Lankford. And when everybody went to bed on election night in Atlantic City in 2001, of course, Whalen, the independent, was winning. And then 2 days later, of course, Lankford, the Democrat, won overwhelmingly because of 1,500 paper ballots that had been gathered by Craig Calloway, our guest speaker. So Craig will be explaining how that happens and how what was a shock in Atlantic City in 2001 has become normal in the rest of America 20 years later. And it's very interesting. And just like with that American Community Survey, the paper ballots, the election season, the early voting, all that mishmash, it didn't start with Obama. It was Republican President Bush and Republican Congress that did the Help America Vote Act of 2001 that gave us this nonsense. And Craig Calloway figured it out and used it to his advantage. And, you could either learn from him or you could ignore him. The choice is yours, but I think you're always better off learning something. So that's going to be February 17th. If you want to buy the tickets, they're $75. And no, the money doesn't go to Craig Calloway. The money goes to Liberty and Prosperity so he could keep taking ads on the John DeMasi program and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm going to buy my ticket, but, I'll be there in spirit.
And we'll take video of it as we do all the time. All right. The other thing that's interesting is if you're watching the news, you're watching about the Houthis and Hamas and the Taliban, and you wonder who are all these crazy people, with these crazy names. And we've explained that on our libertyandprosperity.com website in response to Governor Murphy, because today, this is January, which in New Jersey is Muslim Heritage Month. And that was declared by the joint session of the legislature last year, Republicans and Democrats. And so it's important, I think, for us all to understand what Islam is all about. And the insight that we have in this in this week's newsletter, and if people want to subscribe to our newsletter, you can either contact me through info@libertyandprosperity.com or subscribe directly through the libertyandprosperity.com website. But we have 13 important facts about Islam that we have posted on our site, and it's amazing how many military experts and world leaders just don't understand these basic facts about Islam. And have you ever heard the term Wahhabi or Salafi?
I heard a Wahhabi, but I don't know what it means.
All right. Well, I'll give it just a rough outline of what makes the Wahhabis and the Salafis. And by the way, the Hamas and the Houthis and the Taliban, they're all basically Wahhabi and Salafi interpretations of Islam. But we all know that in Judaism and Christianity, if you read the Old Testament of the Bible, you'll read passages about when the Hebrews go into Canaan and they smite the Canaanites and they smite the Amalekites and, you know, they murder women and children and commit all these horrible atrocities. And that's in the Old Testament. And a lot of people say, well, see, Christianity and Judaism, they're barbaric. But they miss the whole point. And the whole point of the Old Testament and the New Testament is to recognize that in the past we had barbaric times. And as we got to know God better, we grew out of those barbaric times and we're civilized today. And basically, Islam started to do the same thing about 1,000 years ago. But in the this barren section of Arabia called Najd, you had these two scholars, radical, violent scholars. One guy was called Tamiya in the 1300s. Another guy was called Wahhab in the 1700s. And they basically preached that Islam had gone soft and was no longer doing what Muhammad and what they called the pious predecessors, the first three generations of followers of Muhammad back in the dark ages of the 700s. They said these were the people who practiced pure Islam, and anyone who did not do the barbaric things that they did was really not a true Muslim. And so it was this violent, intolerant sect. They brought wars and misery and punishment and subjugating women, and they would not allow dancing, they wouldn't allow music. Everything you see in Afghanistan today, this is what they were preaching. But here's what's interesting. Until about 50 years ago, the Wahhabis and the Salafis, they were rejected by most Muslims around the world because they were intolerant, they were violent, they were ignorant, and they were dishonest in the way they misinterpreted these Islamic texts. But what happened 50 years ago, when the price of oil went up, and by the way, these people were only in Saudi Arabia, and so they were in the middle of the desert, and nobody cared what they were saying. But as soon as they had the oil prices skyrocket in 1973, the Saudis pumped billions of dollars every year to promote this radical doctrine, this intolerant and violent doctrine of the Wahhabis and the Salafis. And that's what you see in these pro-Hamas demonstrations around New York City in America today. That's the Houthis, that's Hamas, that's the Taliban. And that's what we have to recognize, and that's what we have to deal with. So I know it's a long piece, but I really think your listeners would benefit if they go to libertyandprosperity.com and look at those 13 basic facts about Islam. That whole Wahhabi and Salafi, I mean, the word Wahhabi and Salafi should be everyday household words, because those are our enemies. And just like we learned about the Nazis and the Japanese during World War II, before we could defeat them, if we're going to defeat the Wahhabis and Salafis, we have to know what they're all about.
Well, that was pretty impressive. Listen, Seth, I want to break format here for just a bit. John, one of our listeners, has a question for you, so we'll put him on with that question. Then we'll give him his own time. So, John, you're on the line, and good morning. Welcome to the show. You're on with Seth Grossman.
Yes, I want to ask Mr. Grossman a two-part question: a part A and a part B. Please don't answer the A until I follow up with the B. In 2007. Okay. Meat and potatoes of it. I'll get right to the meat and potatoes. In 2017, when Trump took office for the first year, it was $20,245,000,000,000 American taxpayer monies, and it rose to $720,748,000,000,000. That means it rose $7,503,000,000,000 on his watch. However, in 2019, it rose $5 trillion from $22,719,000,000,000 to $27,748,000,000,000. So it rose $5 trillion in 1 year. Now here's what happened. In 2019, we had trade wars. In 2020,
Give me a question,
I'll get right to the question right now. Part A: trade wars and COVID-19 with concomitant recession, was that contributor to the rise in debt, and also part B, there was a President Ron DeSantis, how would he have done any differently? Thank you.
All right, John, you can hang on and ask the... Oh, he's off? Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's assuming a whole lot of stuff. It's not really a question, because what makes an economy... running an economy is like running like a big oil tanker. I mean, a lot of people think that the economy of running a country is like a little motorboat. You know, you turn the steering wheel and the motorboat goes in a certain direction. When you're dealing with a whole running a nation, you're like doing a giant oil tanker. So, you know, if you want to change the direction of the ship, it you have to change the direction 20 miles before the ship actually turns. So to say that something happened in 2017 and then 2 years later something different happens, it takes years and years for policies to take effect. All I could tell you is that, you know, Trump, he appointed Goldman Sachs, what was his name, Steven Mnuchin, as his Secretary of the Treasury to run the economy. The way Mnuchin ran the economy was with massive deficits, with massive bailouts for Wall Street. And yeah, just like when you run up your credit cards, you're living a good life and everything's going well. But then when you have to pay the money back, then everything crashes.
Yeah.
So the real question is, what caused the inflation, the Biden inflation of 2021? Did it begin with the $8 trillion that Trump added to the debt during the 4 years he was president or not? I mean, Trump certainly did a lot of good things. He promoted drilling of oil and he promoted the pipelines. What Trump did not do, and this is what Ron DeSantis does, Trump did not promote the culture. He did not say that global warming is a hoax. He did not say we've got to stop brainwashing our kids into believing that they have to declare a war on fossil fuels. We've got to build nuclear plants. So even though Trump did all the right stuff with the drill, 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 all the drilling stopped as soon as he left office because half the country was brainwashed into thinking that the planet's going to burn up if we didn't suddenly stop, drilling for oil, and if we didn't suddenly stop, building wind turbines off of Atlantic City. So I don't know if I really answered John's question, but it's a little more complicated than he went on. And this is why we have these discussions at Liberty and Prosperity. So anyway, it's 9:30. I wish I could say I'm on my way to the Liberty and Prosperity meeting that we have Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10:30, but it's going to be a little tough for me to get there from Palm Beach, Florida. So, and by the way, if anyone who does show up, maybe they'll get what they're looking for. They'll get 100% pro-Trump vote on the straw poll we take every week because I'm not going to be there. So here's your opportunity.
Okay. Well, you enjoy your 62-degree weather while we suffer in 20 degrees, okay?
Yeah. LibertyandProsperity.com. All the stuff I wanted to say is posted right there. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
Thanks, Seth. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, and the website libertyandprosperity.com. It is Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. I'm John DeMasi.